Siri, Alexa, and Cortana are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to artificial intelligence, or AI, which is playing an increasingly pervasive role in our lives. But there are growing concerns that these powerful technologies pose equally powerful dangers, even posing an existential threat to humanity itself. Peter Paul Verbeek is a philosophy professor at Twente University in the Netherlands and a member of UNESCO's World Commission on the Ethics of Scientific Knowledge and Technology. Speaking on the line from UNESCO's headquarters in Paris, he explained to me how AI is already in common use today.
I think the main ones at the moment are in the realm of expert systems, systems that help people to make choices and decisions, like, for instance, in law, that sometimes a judge can be really assisted by AI systems to see what in similar cases has been the verdict, and that can really help. But of course, there's also a risk of bias, etc. Or in the medical sphere, where a medical doctor can be helped to make a diagnosis. So I think that's one very important realm at the moment. And of course, the other realm that's in the news a lot is in the field of, you could say automotive cars that somehow operate themselves, that can find their ways, that can orient themselves in their environment. So that's also a realm, I think, that many people know and where AI is starting to play a very big role.
Could you just talk me through some of the main fears that you've come across?
Well, I think the main fears regarding AI is that it would somehow outdate humans, right? That it would be better at performing tasks than humans are, and that somehow the human being would be redundant. I think those fears are especially present when it's about work. And so what will be the future of work if all kinds of expert systems and robotic systems can take over the work that humans used to do? And I think that, of course, that's kind of a dark scenario, that we could only watch how the robots are running the world while we be unemployed.
Do you share these fears?
I do not really share those fears. I mean, I think it's quite a realistic scenario that some jobs will be taken over by computers. But what you see happening at the moment is that those jobs are also replaced by other types of jobs, typically in the field of education. And so the interesting thing to see is that what we need to learn as human beings is to be somehow flexible and resilient. And so technology is starting to change the world at such a high speed that also in the field of work, people need to learn how to work with new kinds of machines all the time. And there also need to be people who educate them, who teach them how to work with those technologies. So I see a change in the labor market, but I don't see humans being outdated. To the contrary, actually.
We have people who you'd think would know about this in Silicon Valley, people like Elon Musk and other major Silicon Valley figures also raising their fears about general AI, this idea that AI could be developed that could replicate and become super intelligent.
Of course, I can imagine those fears, and it would be a horror scenario if that would be true. But I think the main value of stories like that is that they could warn us for a future that we would not want. At the same time, the risks of such stories are that we forget to think about what AI will actually do in our lives. It's typically a story where AI takes the role of somehow outdating humans or replacing humans or threatening humans. It's humans versus AI. Whereas I think at the moment, the real questions are more in the realm of how will we live our lives with AI? How will it change education? How will it change healthcare? How will it change all kinds of subfields in our society? And the ultimate horror scenario that there would be a super intelligent system that would somehow decide that it doesn't need humans to live on the planet. Of course, that could be a big fear. But I think the fear blinds us for things that really matter now.
What role should the UN be playing in this field?
I think there's a big role for the UN in this field. I mean, what you could say is that currently the discussion about the future of AI is almost taking on a geopolitical dimension, where the discussion typically goes in the direction of what kind of value frameworks should guide the development of AI. And there are some models available there. There's a model that comes from the US, which basically is an economic model. Companies making money with AI, your data being owned by a company. There are also other parts of the world where the state plays a bigger role, which also means that the data are owned by the state, and the state has new means to control people. So there might also be other ways to do that. In the EU currently, people say, is there a way in which the EU could do that and bring in another set of values? So I would think it would be a pity if we would frame the discussion as some kind of a struggle between all kinds of parts of the world. And the UN, I think, is the only place where the whole world is sitting around the table and can try to find a value framework that is shared by everyone, and to make a form of AI that's inclusive and that will benefit all people in the world and take into account all value frameworks, all worries and things that matter to people from everywhere.
Now, last question, Professor. You're a member of the World Commission on the Ethics of Scientific Knowledge and Technology at UNESCO. Many people might not know that UNESCO has such a commission. What are the key priorities that this commission is looking at right now?
So at the moment, we are finishing up a report on water, where we try to identify all the ethical issues regarding water in the oceans, in all kinds of coastal areas, and regarding drinking water. And of course, we focus especially on the role of science and technology in those fields. And at the same time, we just finished a report on the ethics of robotics, and we are now starting up a report on the ethics of the Internet of Things. So how the objects in our everyday life world are increasingly connected through the Internet with sensors that detect how we behave, what we do, and that give their data to systems that interpret us, make sense of us, which brings, of course, also a lot of new vulnerabilities and new ethical issues regarding bias, inclusion, exclusion, power relations, and also about, you could say, the quality of healthcare, the quality of education. So a lot of interesting stuff that we are working on at the moment, I can say.